in a logo. Searchlights crisscross the sky over a pedestal with the words 20th Century Fox. The opening credits appear. Daryl F. Zanuck presents Betty Davis, Ann Baxter, George Sanders, Celeste Holm in All About Eve, with Gary Merrill, Hugh Marlowe, Gregory Ratoff, Thelma Ritter, Marilyn Monroe, Barbara Bates, Walter Hampton. Music by Alfred Newman. Director of Photography, Milton Krasner. Art Direction, Lyle Wheeler, George W. Davis. Set Decorations, Thomas Little, Walter M. Scott. Film Editor, Barbara McLean. Wardrobe Direction, Charles Lemaire. Costumes for Miss Betty Davis, designed by Edith Head. Orchestration, Edward Powell. Makeup Artist, Ben Nye. Special Photographic Effects, Fred Serson. Sound, W.D. Flick, Roger Heeman. Copyright 1950 by 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. Produced by Daryl F. Zanuck. Written for the screen and directed by Joseph L. Mankiewicz.
The Sarah Siddons Award for Distinguished Achievement is perhaps unknown to you. It has been spared the sensational and commercial publicity that attends such questionable honors as the Pulitzer Prize, and those awards presented annually by that film society. The distinguished-looking gentleman is an extremely old actor. Being an actor, he will go on speaking for some time. It is not important that you hear what he says. However, it is important that you know where you are and why you are here. This is the dining hall of the Sarah Siddons Society. The occasion is its annual banquet and presentation of the highest honor our theater knows. The Sarah Siddons Award for Distinguished Achievement. These hallowed walls, indeed many of these faces, have looked upon Modjeska, Ada Rehan, and Minnie Fisk. Mansfield's voice filled this room. It is unlikely that the windows have been opened since his death.
The minor awards, as you can see, have already been presented. Minor awards are for such as the writer and director, since their function is merely to construct a tower so that the world can applaud a light which flashes on top of it. And no brighter light has ever dazzled the eye than Eve Harrington. Eve. But more of Eve later. All about Eve, in fact.
To those of you who do not read, attend the theater, listen to unsponsored radio programs, or know anything of the world in which you live, it is perhaps necessary to introduce myself. My name is Addison DeWitt. My native habitat is the theater. In it, I toil not, neither do I spin. I am a critic and commentator. I am essential to the theater. This is Karen Richards. She is the wife of a playwright, therefore of the theater by marriage. Nothing in her background or breeding should have brought her any closer to the stage than Row E, center. However, during her senior year at Radcliffe, Lloyd Richards lectured on the drama. The following year, Karen became Mrs. Lloyd Richards. There are, in general, two types of theatrical producers. One has a great many wealthy friends who will risk a tax-deductible loss. This type is interested in art. The other is one to whom each production means potential ruin or fortune. This type is out to make a buck. Meet Max Fabian. He is the producer of the play, which has won for Eve Harrington the Sarah Siddons Award.
Max dozes off.
Margot Channing is a star of the theater. She made her first stage appearance at the age of 4 in Midsummer Night's Dream. She played a fairy and entered, quite unexpectedly, stark naked. She has been a star ever since. Margot is a great star, a true star. She never was or will be anything less or anything else. Having covered in tedious detail not only the history of the Sarah Siddons Society, but also the history of acting since Thespis first stepped out of the chorus line, our distinguished chairman has finally arrived at our reason for being here.
I have been proud and privileged to have spent my life in the theater, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage. And I've been honored to be, for 40 years, chief prompter of the Sarah Siddons Society. 39 times have I placed in deserving hands this highest honor the theater knows. Surely no actor is older than I. I've earned my place out of the sun. And never before has this award gone to anyone younger than its recipient tonight. How fitting that it should pass from my hands to hers. Such young hands. Such a young lady. Young in years, but whose heart is as old as the theater. Some of us are privileged to know her. We have seen beyond the beauty and artistry that have made her name resound through the nation. We know her humility, her devotion, her loyalty to her art, her love, her deep and abiding love for us, for what we are and what we do, the theater. She has had one wish, one prayer, one dream, to belong to us. Tonight her dream has come true, and henceforth we shall dream the same of her. Honored members, ladies and gentlemen, for distinguished achievement in the theater, the Sarah Siddons Award to Miss Eve Harrington.
Many of the attendees stand up. Photographers gather. Eve slowly arises from her table. Bows to the right, and then to the left. The presenter holds the trophy aloft. Max gives a hearty cheer. Addison claps politely. Karen sits neutral. Margot, less than neutral. Eve ascends to accept the award.
Eve. Eve, the golden girl. The cover girl. The girl next door. The girl on the moon. Time has been good to Eve. Life goes where she goes. She's been profiled, covered, revealed, reported, what she eats and what she wears and whom she knows and where she was and when and where she's going. Eve. You all know all about Eve. What can there be to know that you don't know?
Karen takes over the narration.
When was it? How long? It seems a lifetime ago. Lloyd always said that in the theater a lifetime was a season and a season a lifetime. It's June now. That was early October.
On a theater marquee.
Only last October.
Margot Channing in Aged in Wood.
It was a drizzly night. I remember I asked the taxi to wait.
Karen emerges from a taxi in a full-length fur coat.
Where was she? Strange. I'd become so accustomed to seeing her there night after night. I found myself looking for a girl I'd never spoken to, wondering where she was.
Karen walks through the back entrance to the theater.
Mrs. Richards.
Says a young lady in a raincoat. Karen turns around.
There you are. It seemed odd suddenly. You're not being here.
Why should you think I wouldn't be?
Well, why should you be? After all, 6 nights a week for weeks of watching even Margot Channing enter and leave a theater.
I hope you don't mind my speaking to you.
Not at all.
I've seen you so often. It took every bit of courage I could raise.
To speak to just a playwright's wife? I'm the lowest form of celebrity.
You're Margot Channing's best friend. You and your husband are always with her. And Mr. Sampson. What's he like?
Bill Sampson? He's a director.
He's the best.
He'll agree with you. Tell me, what do you do in between the time Margot goes in and comes out? Just huddle in that doorway and wait?
Oh, no. I see the play.
You see the play? You've seen every performance of this play?
Yes.
But don't you find it, apart from everything else, don't you find it expensive?
Standing room doesn't cost much. I manage.
I'm going to take you to Margot.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, she's got to meet you.
No. No, I'd be imposing on her. I'd be just another tongue-tied, gushing fan.
There isn't another like you. There couldn't be.
But if I'd known, maybe some other time, looking like this...
Oh, you look just fine.
By the way, what's your name?
Eve. Eve Harrington.
They enter a large room crowded with theater props.
Good evening, guys.
Good evening, Mrs. Richards. Good night,
Margot. Eve walks across and looks out onto the stage. She turns back toward Karen.
You can breathe it, can't you? Like some magic perfume.
They walk over to a door.
Wait right here. Don't run away.
If the South had won the war, you could write the Karen same place about in. The North.
Hello.
Well, now, Miss Chandler, I don't think you can rightly say we lost the war.
Let me fix your drink.
We was more starved out, you might say. That's why I don't understand all these plays about love starved Southern women. Love was one thing we were never starved for in the South.
Margot's interview with a lady reporter from the South.
In the minute it gets printed, they're going to fire on Gettysburg all over again.
It was Fort Sumter they fired on.
I never played Fort Sumter.
Honey shot at a point. Lloyd, honey, be a playwright with guts. Write me one about a nice, normal woman who just shoots her husband.
You need new girdles.
Buy some.
Same size?
Of course. I find these wisecracks increasingly less funny. Aged in Wood happens to be a fine and distinguished play.
That's my loyal little woman.
Well, the critics thought so. The audiences certainly think so. Packed houses, tickets 4 months in advance. I can't see that Lloyd's plays have hurt you any.
Easy now.
Oh, relax, kid. It's just me and my big mouth.
Removing makeup.
It's just that you get me so mad sometimes. Of all the women in the world with nothing to complain about, ain't it the truth? Yes, it is. You're talented, famous, wealthy. People waiting around night after night just to see you, even in the wind and the rain. Autograph fiends. They're not people. Those little beasts that run around in packs like coyotes. They're your fans, your audience. They're nobody's fans. They're juvenile delinquents. They're mental defectives. They're nobody's audience. They never see a play or a movie.
Lloyd claps.
They're never indoors long enough. Well, there's one indoors right now. I brought her back to see you. You've what? She's just outside the door.
To her dressing maid.
The heave-ho. Oh, but you can't put her out. I promised. Margot, you've got to see her. She worships you. It's like something out of a book.
That book is out of print, Karen. Those days are gone.
But if you'd only see her. You're her whole life. You must have spotted her by now. She's always there. Oh, the mousy one with the trench coat and the funny hat. How could I miss her every night, every matinee? Well.
Karen goes to the door.
Come in, Eve.
Eve enters.
I thought you'd forgotten about me.
Oh, not at all. Margot, this is Eve Harrington. How do you do,
my dear? Offering her hand.
Oh, brother.
Hello, Miss Channing.
My husband.
Hello, Miss Harrington.
How do you do, Mr. Richards?
And this is my dear friend and companion, Miss Bertie Coonan.
Oh, brother. Miss Coonan.
Oh, brother what?
When she gets like this, all of a sudden she's playing Hamlet's mother.
I'm sure you must have things to do in the bathroom, Bertie dear.
If I haven't, I'll find something till you get normal.
Bertie walks out.
Dear Bertie, won't you sit down, Miss Worthington? Harrington. I'm so sorry, Harrington. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Would you
I'm
like
just
to
telling
drink this one
Margot
right
and Lloyd
beside?
About how often you've seen the play? No, thank you. Yes, I've seen every performance.
Every performance? Well, then am I safe in assuming you like it?
I'd like anything Miss Channing played in.
Would you really? How sweet.
I doubt very much that you'd like her in the Harry Ape.
Oh, please don't misunderstand me, Mr. Richards. I think that part of Miss Channing's greatness lies in her ability to pick the best plays. Your new play is for Miss Channing, isn't it?
Of course it is.
How'd you hear about it?
There was an item in the Times. I like the title, Footsteps on the Ceiling.
Yes, but let's get back to this one. Have you really seen every performance? Why? I'm curious.
Well, if I didn't come to see the play, I wouldn't have anywhere else to go.
There are other plays.
Not with you in them. Not by Mr. Richards.
But you must have friends, a home, family.
Eve gently shakes her head.
Tell us about it, Eve. If I only knew how. Try. Well...
Bertie returns, looks around, stares at Eve, walks quietly across to the back corner of the room.
It started with a play before this one.
Remembrance.
Remembrance.
Did you see it here in New York?
San Francisco. It was the last week. I went one night. Most important night of my life. Until now. I found myself going the next night. The next. And the next. Every performance. Then, when the show went east, I went east.
Eve, why don't you start at the beginning?
Oh, couldn't possibly interest you.
Please.
I guess it started back home. Wisconsin, that is. It was just Mom and Dad and me. I was an only child. Used to make believe a lot when I was a kid. Acted out all sorts of things. What they were isn't important. But somehow, acting and make believe began to fill up my life more and more. It got so I couldn't tell the real from the unreal. Except that the unreal seemed more real to me. I'm talking a lot of gibberish, aren't I?
Not at all.
Farmers were poor in those days. That's what Dad was, a farmer. I had to help out. So I quit school, went to Milwaukee, became a secretary in a brewery. When you're a secretary in a brewery, it's pretty hard to make believe you're anything else. Everything is beer. It wasn't much fun, but it helped at home. And there was a little theater group there, like a drop of rain on the desert. That's where I met Eddie. He was a radio technician. We paid Lillian for three performances. That was awful. Then the war came, and we got married. Eddie was in the Air Force. They sent him to the South Pacific. You were with the OWI, weren't you, Mr. Richards?
He nods.
That's what Who's Who says. Well, with Eddie gone, my life went back to beer. Except for a letter a week. One week he wrote me he had a leave coming up. I'd saved my money and vacation time and went to San Francisco to meet him. But Eddie wasn't there. They forwarded the telegram from Milwaukee. The one that came from Washington to say that Eddie wasn't coming at all. That Eddie was dead.
Margot casts her teary eyes downward. Karen holds her husband's hand.
I figured I'd stay in San Francisco. I was alone. I couldn't go back without Eddie. I found a job and his insurance helped.
Even Birdie listens intently.
And there were theaters in San Francisco. And then one night, Margot Channing came to play in Remembrance. And I went to see it. Well, here I am.
Margot, now weeping, grabs a tissue.
What a story. Everything but the bloodhound snapping at her rear end.
There are some human experiences, Birdie, that do not take place in a vaudeville house. And that even a fifth-rate vaudevillian should understand and respect. I want to apologize for Birdie.
You don't have to apologize for me.
She approaches Eve.
I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. It's just my way of talking.
You didn't hurt my feelings, Miss Coonan.
Call me Birdie. And as for being fifth rate, I closed the first half for 11 years and you know it.
She walks out. From another door enters a man with a suitcase and speaks to Margot.
47 minutes from now, my plane takes off, and how do I find you? Not ready yet, looking like a junkyard.
Thank you so much.
Is it sabotage? Does my career mean nothing to you? Have you no human consideration?
Show me a human, and I might have, Bill.
The airlines have clocks, even if you haven't. I start shooting a week from Monday. Zanuck is impatient. He wants me. He needs me.
Zanuck, 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 what are you two lovers?
Only in some ways. You're pretty.
I'm a junkyard.
Bill! Huh? This is Eve Harrington.
Hi. My wonderful junkyard. The mystery and dreams you find in a junkyard.
Heaven help me. I love a psychotic.
Hello. What's your name?
Eve. Eve Harrington.
You've already met.
Huh? Where?
Right here. Just a minute ago.
Well, that's nice.
Eve stands up.
You're not going, are you?
I think I'd better. It's been... I can hardly find the words to say how it's been.
No, don't go.
The four of you must have so much to say to each other with Mr. Sampson leaving.
No, stick around, please. Tell you what, we'll put Stanislavski on his plane, you and I, and then go somewhere and talk.
Well, if I'm not in the way...
I won't be a minute.
Pushing her back down into the chair.
Lloyd, we've got to go.
Yeah.
Good night, Margot. I'll call you tomorrow.
Not too early.
Good luck, genius.
Geniuses don't need good luck. I do.
I'm not worried about you.
Keep the thought.
Good night, Eve. I hope I see you again soon. I'll be at the old stand tomorrow matinee.
Not just that way. As a friend.
I'd like that.
It's been a real pleasure, Eve.
I hope so, Mr. Richards. Good night.
Good night.
Mrs. Richards, I'll never forget this night as long as I live. And I'll never forget you for making it possible.
Karen smiles and walks out with Lloyd.
And I'll never forget you, Eve. Where were we going that night, Lloyd and I? Funny, the things you remember and the things you don't.
Bill slumps in a chair and smokes.
So you're going to Hollywood?
Mm-hmm. Why?
I just wondered.
Just wondered what?
Why?
Why what?
Why you have to go out there?
I don't have to. I want to.
Is it the money?
80% of it will go for taxes.
Then why? Why, if you're the best and most successful young director in the theater?
The theater, the theater. What book of rules says the theater exists only within some ugly buildings crowded into one square mile of New York City? Or London, Paris, or Vienna? Listen, Junior, and learn.
You want to know what the theater is? A flea circus.
Also opera. Also rodeos, carnivals, ballets, Indian tribal dances, Punch and Judy, a one-man band, all theater. Wherever there's magic and make-believe, and an audience, there's theater. Donald Duck, Ibsen and the Lone Ranger, Sarah Bernhardt and Poodles Hannaford, Lumpen Fontaine, Betty Grable, Rex the Wild Horse, Eleanor Aduse, all theater. You don't understand them all. You don't like them all. Why should you? The theater's for everybody, you included, but not exclusively. So don't approve or disapprove. May not be your theater, but it's theater for somebody, somewhere.
I just asked a simple question.
And I shut my mouth off. Nothing personal, Junior. No offense. It's just that there's so much bourgeois in this ivory green room they call the theater. Sometimes it gets up around my chin.
But Hollywood, you mustn't stay out there.
It's only a one-picture deal.
So few come back.
Yes.
I read George Jean Nathan every week.
Also, Addison DeWitt.
Every day.
You didn't have to tell me.
Margot and Bertie return.
I understand it's the latest thing, one earring. If it isn't, it's going to be. I can't find the other one.
Throw that dreary letter away. It bores me.
Where do you suppose it could be?
It'll show up.
Oh, I give up. Look in the wigs. Maybe it got caught in one.
Real diamonds in a wig. The world we live in.
Where's my coat?
Right where you left it.
Oh.
On the floor.
The seams.
He can't take his eyes off my legs.
Like a nylon lemon peel.
Byron couldn't have said it more graciously. Here we go.
Out with Eve.
Got any messages? What do you want me to tell Tyrone Power?
Just give him my phone number. I'll tell him myself. Kill the people. You got your key?
See you home.
At the airport.
I have a suggestion. There's really not very much time left. I mean, you haven't had a minute alone yet. And Well, I could take care of everything here and meet you at the gate with a ticket. If you like.
I think we'd like very much. Sure you won't mind?
Of course not.
He hands her the ticket.
She's quite a girl, this what's-her-name.
Eve. I've forgotten they grew that way.
That lack of pretense, that sort of strange directness and understanding.
Did she tell you about the theater? What it meant?
No, I told her. I sounded off.
All the religions in the world rolled into one, and we're gods and goddesses. Isn't it silly? Suddenly I've developed a big protective feeling toward her, a lamb loose in our big stone jungle.
He drops his cigarette and takes hold of her by the coat.
Take care of yourself out there.
I understand they have the Indians pretty well in hand.
Bill, don't get stuck on some glamour puss.
I'll try.
You're not much of a bargain, you know. You're conceited and thoughtless and messy.
Well, everybody can't be Gregory Peck.
You're a setup for some gorgeous, wide-eyed young babe.
How childish are you going to get before you stop it?
I don't want to be childish. I'd settle for a few years.
And cut that out right now.
Am I going to lose you, Bill? Am I?
As of this moment, you're 6 years old.
Already?
Handing back the ticket. They head for the gate.
Thanks for your help. Good luck.
Goodbye, Mr. Sampson.
Get me a muffler.
Call me when you get in.
They share a long embrace. Bill walks off. Eve walks up to Margot.
Hey, Junior! Keep your eye on her. Don't let her get lonely. She's a loose lamb in a jungle.
Don't worry.
He walks toward the plane. Margot and Eve walk back into the terminal.
That same night we sent for Eve's things, her few pitiful possessions, she moved into the little guest room on the top floor.
Eve now dressed more fashionably. Bertie carries in a tea tray.
The next 3 weeks were out of a fairy tale, and I was Cinderella in the last act. Eve became my sister, lawyer, mother, friend, psychiatrist, and cop.
Eve outraces Bertie to the phone.
The honeymoon was on.
Margot slouches in an armchair, munching on a snack while Eve talks on the phone. In the theater, the curtain goes up and the cast take their bows. Eve watches from the wings. The actors go off stage. And now, Margot takes her curtain call in an enormous hoop skirt.
Just something to do till the aisles get cleared.
To a teary-eyed Eve.
What again? Oh, I could watch you play that last scene 1,000 times. Cry every time.
Performance number 1,000 of this one, if I play it that long, will take place in a well-padded booby hatch.
I must say, you can certainly tell Mr. Sampson's been gone a month.
You certainly can. Especially if you're me between now and tomorrow morning.
Into her dressing room.
You bought the new girdles a size smaller. I can feel it.
Something maybe grew a size larger.
When we get home, you're going to get into one of those girdles and act for 2.5 hours.
I couldn't get into the girdle in 2.5 hours.
Margot and Bertie go out.
You haven't noticed my latest bit of interior decorating.
But you've done so much. What's new?
The curtains. I made them myself. They're lovely. Aren't they lovely, Bertie?
Adorable. We now got everything a dressing room needs except a basketball hoop.
Just because you can't even work a zipper. It was very thoughtful of you, Eve. I appreciate it.
While you're cleaning up, I'll just take this to the wardrobe, mistress.
Oh, don't bother. Mrs. Brown will be along in a minute.
No trouble at all.
She walks off with the hoop skirt.
May I be so bold as to say something? Have you ever heard of the word union?
Behind in your dues, how much?
I haven't got a union. I'm slave labor.
Well?
But the wardrobe women have got one, and next to a tenor, a wardrobe woman is the touchiest thing in show business.
Oh.
She's got two things to do. Carry clothes and press them wrong. And don't let anybody try to muscle in.
Margot walks out to the stage where Eve, holding the skirt, is bowing to an imaginary audience.
Eve.
Startled, Eve turns to face Margot.
We'd better let Mrs. Brown pick up the wardrobe.
Eve gathers up the skirt and slowly walks back. At Margot's house, the clock reads 3:00. Margot rolls over in bed.
Hello?
We are ready with your call to Beverly Hills.
Call? What call?
Is this Templeton 89970, Miss Margot Channing?
Yes, it is, but I don't understand.
We are ready with the call you placed for 12 midnight California time to Mr. William Sampson in Beverly Hills.
I place.
Go ahead, please.
Margot, what a wonderful surprise. What a thoughtful, ever-loving thing to do.
Bill! Have I gone crazy, Bill?
You're my girl, aren't you?
That I am.
Then you're crazy.
When are you coming back?
I leave in a week. Picture's all wrapped up. We previewed last night.
Oh, those previews. Like opening out of town, but terrifying. There's nothing you can do. You're trapped. You're in a tin can.
In a tin can, cellophane, or wrapped in a Navajo blanket. I want you home.
You in a hurry?
In a big hurry. So be quick about it. Goodbye, darling. Sleep tight.
Hey, wait a minute. You can't hang up yet. You haven't even said it.
Oh, now, Bill. You know how much I do, but over a phone. No, really. That's kid stuff.
Kid stuff or not, it doesn't happen every day, and I want to hear it. And if you won't say it, you can sing it.
Sing it?
Sure, like the Western Union boys used to do.
Bill, it's your birthday.
And who remembered it? Who was there on the dot at 12 midnight?
Happy birthday, darling.
Well, reading could have been better. Just said it. Now, many happy returns of the day.
Many happy returns of the day.
I get a party, don't I?
Of course. Birthday and coming home. Who'll I ask?
It's no secret. I know all about the party. Eve wrote me.
She did.
She hasn't missed a week since I left. Well, she'll know all about that. You probably tell her what to write.
Anyway, I sent her a list of people to ask, so check with her.
Yeah, I will.
How is Eve, okay?
Okay. I'll check with Eve.
Huh?
I love you, too. Good night, darling.
See you.
Bill hangs up. As does Margot. She lights a cigarette. And sits up in bed. The next morning, Bertie carries in a tray and brings it to Margot in bed. And opens the curtains.
don't like Eve, do you?
You want an argument or an answer?
An answer.
No.
Why not?
Now you want an argument.
She works hard.
Night and day.
She's loyal and efficient.
Like an agent with only one client.
She thinks only of me. Doesn't she?
Well, let's say she thinks only about you anyway.
How do you mean that?
I'll tell you how. Like she's studying you. Like it was a play or a book or a set of blueprints. How you walk, talk, eat, think, sleep.
I'm sure that's very flattering, Bertie. I'm sure there's nothing wrong with it.
Good morning.
Says Eve, entering the room.
Well, what do you think of my elegant new suit?
Very becoming. It looks much better on you than it did on me.
Oh, I can imagine. You know, all it needed was a little taking in here and letting out there. Are you sure you won't want it yourself?
I'm quite sure. I find it too 17-ish for me.
Oh, come now, as though you were an old lady. I'm on my way. Is there anything more you've thought of?
Where's that script you take back to the guild?
I've got it.
And those checks or whatever it is for the income tax man.
Right here.
And it seems I can't think of a thing you haven't thought of.
That's my job. See you at tea time.
She heads for the door.
Eve, by chance did you place a call from me to Bill for midnight California time?
Golly, I forgot to tell you.
Yes, dear, you forgot all about it.
Well, I was sure you'd want to, of course, being his birthday, and you've been so busy these past few days. And last night I meant to tell you before he went out with the Richards. I guess I was asleep when you got home.
Yes, I guess you were. It was very thoughtful of you, Eve.
Mr. Sampson's birthday. I couldn't forget that. You'd never forgive me. As a matter of fact, I sent him a telegram myself.
She goes out. Margot looks at Bertie. Bertie looks back at Margot and goes out. Later.
Bill's welcome home birthday party. A night to go down in history. Even before the party started, I could smell disaster in the air. I knew it. I sensed it even as I finished dressing for that blasted party.
Bertie comes in.
You all put together?
My bag's open. Extra help get you?
And there's some loose characters dressed as maids and butlers. Who'd you call, the William Morris Agency?
You're not being funny. I could get actors for less. How about the food?
The caterer had to go back for the hors d'oeuvres. Voila.
That French ventriloquist taught you a lot, didn't he?
There was nothing he didn't know.
Margot picks up a glass from her dressing table.
And there's a message from the bartender. Does Miss Channing know that she ordered domestic gin by mistake?
The only thing I ordered by mistake is the guests. They're domestic, too, and they don't care what they drink as long as it burns. Miss Billy's late.
Late for what?
I'll be dance the party.
I ain't dense, and he's been here for 20 minutes.
Well, I certainly think it's odd he hasn't even come up to.
Bertie puts her hands on her hips. Margot finishes her drink and hands the glass to Bertie. Margot goes out. Trots down the stairs.
Don't let it worry you, said the cameraman. Even DeMille couldn't see anything looking through the wrong end, so that was the first
point. Enters the living room.
Don't let me kill the point, or isn't it a story for grown-ups?
You've heard it. About the time I looked through the wrong end of the camera finder.
Remind me to tell you about the time I looked into the heart of an artichoke. I'd like to hear it.
Some snowy night in front of the fire. In the meantime, while we're on the subject, would you check about the hors d'oeuvres, Eve? The caterer forgot and the varnish wasn't dry or something.
Of course.
She goes out. Margot glances at Bill and then turns away.
Looks like I'm going to have a very fancy party.
I thought you were going to be late.
Well, I'm guest of honor.
I had no idea you were even here.
Well, I ran into Eve on my way upstairs and she told me you were dressing.
That's never stopped you before.
We started talking. She wanted to know about Hollywood. She seemed so interested.
She's a girl of so many interests.
It's a pretty rare quality these days.
A girl of so many rare qualities.
So she seems.
So you've pointed out so often. So many qualities so often. Her loyalty, efficiency, devotion, warmth, and affection, and so young. So young and so fair.
I can't believe you're making this up. It sounds like something out of an old Clyde Fitch play.
Clyde Fitch, though you may not think so, was well before my time.
I've always denied the legend you were in Our American Cousin the night Lincoln was shot.
I don't think that's funny.
Of course it's funny. This is all too laughable to be anything else. You know what I feel about this age obsession of yours, and now this ridiculous attempt to whip yourself up into a jealous froth because I spent 10 minutes with a stage-struck kid.
20.
30 minutes, 40 minutes, what of it?
Stage-struck kid, she's a young lady of qualities. And I'll have you know I'm fed up with both the young lady and her qualities. Studying me as if I were a play or a blueprint, how I walk, talk, think, act, sleep.
Now, how can you take offense at a kid trying in every way to be as much like her ideal as possible?
Stop calling her a kid. As it happens, there are particular aspects of my life to which I would like to maintain sole and exclusive rights and privileges.
For instance, what?
For instance, you.
This is my cue to take you in my arms and reassure you. But I'm not going to. I'm too mad.
Guilty.
Mad. Darling, there are certain characteristics for which you are famous, on stage and off. I love you for some of them and in spite of others. I haven't let those become too important to me. They're part of your equipment for getting along in what is laughingly called our environment. You have to keep your teeth sharp. All right. But I will not have you sharpen them on me. Or on Eve.
What about her teeth? What about her fangs?
She hasn't cut them yet, and you know it. So when you start judging an idealistic, dreamy-eyed kid by the barroom Benzedrine standards of this megalomaniac society, I won't have it. Eve Harrington has never by word, look, thought, or suggestion indicated anything to me but her adoration for you and her happiness at our being in love. And to intimate anything else doesn't spell jealousy to me. It spells a paranoiac insecurity that you should be ashamed of.
God print it. What happens in the next reel? Do I get dragged off screaming to the snake pits?
Miss Channing.
Margot turns her head.
The hors d'oeuvre here. Is there anything else I can do?
Margot glances at Bill.
Thank you, Eve. I'd like a martini, very dry.
I'll get it.
To Eve.
What'll you have?
A milkshake.
A martini. Very dry, please.
Coming up the stairs, Karen and Lloyd Richards and Max Fabian.
Come on, Max. The party's on the first
bell. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Mrs. Richards.
How are you, dear?
Hello, Eve.
Good evening, Mr. Richards. Mr. Fabian.
Hello, Eve. Hello.
May I have your coat?
Oh, don't bother. I'll take it up.
Please.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, Margot.
Hi,
Max.
Hello, Karen. Lloyd.
House looks lovely.
Thank you.
I like that girl. That quality of quiet graciousness.
Among so many quiet qualities. Shall we?
Margot, nothing you've ever done has made me as happy as you're taking Eve in.
I'm so happy you're happy.
Now, look here. You haven't been running a settlement house exactly. The kid has earned her way. You had a pretty mixed up inventory when she took over. Merchandise laying all over the shop.
You've got Margot mixed up with a 5 and 10 cent store.
Make it Bergdorf Goodman. Everything on his proper shelf, eh, Max? All done up in little ribbons. I could die right now and nobody'd be confused. How about you, Max?
How about me what?
Suppose you drop dead. What about your inventory?
I ain't going to drop dead. Not with the heat.
This is the most ghoulish conversation.
Bill returns with Margot's martini.
Nothing.
Max! Mon vieux! Fifi!
Max walks off.
The kid, a junior that is, will be down in a minute unless you'd like to take her drink up to her.
I can get a fresh one. Karen, you're a Gibson girl.
Thank you, Bill.
The general atmosphere is very Macbethish. What has or is about to happen?
What is he talking about?
Macbeth.
We know you. We've seen you like this before. Is it over or is it just beginning?
Margot downs her drink, places the olive back, and hands the glass to Bill. She heads for the stairs.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
She goes up.
Mademoiselle, je vous remercie infiniment pour l'invitation.
Enchanté to you, too.
I distinctly remember Addison crossing you off my guest list. What are you doing here?
Dear Margot, you were an unforgettable Peter Pan. You must pray it again soon. You remember Miss Caswell,
don't you? I do not. How do you do?
We've never met. Maybe that's why.
Miss Caswell is an actress, a graduate of the Copacabana School of Dramatic Art.
Descending the stairs.
Good evening, Mr. DeWitt.
I had no idea you two knew each other.
This must be at long last our formal introduction. Until now, we've only met in passing.
That's how you met me, in passing.
Yes. Eve, this is an old friend of Mr. DeWitt's mother, Miss Caswell, Miss Harrington.
Miss Caswell, how do you do?
Addison, I've been wanting you to meet Eve for the longest time.
It could only have been your natural timidity that kept you from mentioning it.
You've heard of her great interest in the theater.
We have that in common.
Then you two must have a long talk.
I'm afraid Mr. DeWitt would find me boring before too long. You won't bore him, honey. You won't even get a chance to talk.
Claudia, come here. You see that man? That's Max Fabian, the producer. Now go and do yourself some good.
Why do they always look like unhappy rabbits?
Because that's what they are. I'll go and make him happy.
She goes off. To Margot.
Now, don't worry about your little charge. She'll be in safe hands.
Addison and Eve walk off. Margot stands alone, holding Miss Caswell's coat. Birdie comes down, takes the coat.
Amen.
Downing another martini. Later. Bertie walks over to the piano where Margot sits alongside the pianist. Bertie taps her on the shoulder. Bertie holds out a small bowl. Margot fishes out an olive and places it in the bowl, then dismisses Bertie with a wave of her hand. Bertie walks off as Margot cradles the martini glass.
Play it again.
But that was the fourth straight time.
Then this will be five.
Many of your guests have been wondering when they may be permitted to view the body. Where has it been laid out?
It hasn't been laid out. We haven't finished with the embalming. As a matter of fact, you're looking at it. The remains of Margot Channing. Sitting up. It is my last wish to be buried sitting up.
Wouldn't you feel more natural taking a bath?
You know nothing about feelings, natural or unnatural.
Then without feelings, your guests were also wondering whether the music couldn't be a shade more on the, shall we say, happier side?
If my guests do not like it here, I suggest they accompany you to the nursery, where I'm sure you will all feel more at home.
Margot. You by any chance haven't got any bicarbonate of soda in the house?
Poor Max. Heartburn.
He nods.
It's that Miss Caswell. I don't see why she hasn't given Addison heartburn.
No heart to burn?
Everybody has a heart, except some people.
Standing up.
Of course I've got bicarb. I've got a box in the pantry. We'll put your name on it. Max Fabian. It will stay there, always, just for you.
Let the rest of the world beat their brains out for a buck. It's friends that count, and I have friends.
I love you, Max. I really mean it. I love you. Come to the pantry.
She loves me like a father. Also, she's loaded.
He follows her out. In the pantry.
There you are, Maxie, dear. One good burp and you'll be rid of that Miss Caswell.
The situation I'm in ain't the kind you can belt your way out of. I made a promise.
To Miss Caswell? What?
Well, for an audition, you know, for this part we are replacing. What's her name? Your sister.
What?
Not two, please.
Well, if she can act, she might not be bad. She looks like she might burn down a plantation.
Right now, I feel like there is one burning in me.
When's the audition?
A couple weeks.
Tell you what. Why don't I read with her?
Would you?
Anything to help you out, Max.
Now, that's cooperation. I appreciate it.
Not at all. And now you can do me a great favor, if
just
you would.
Just name it.
Give Eve Harrington a job in your office. You get quick action, don't you?
I wouldn't think of taking that girl away from you.
You said yourself my inventory was in shape, all my merchandise put away. To keep her here with nothing to do, I'd be standing in her way. And you need her, Max.
Well, what will she do?
Well, she'd be a great help. She'd read scripts, interview people you have to see, get rid of those you don't have to. You'd be a man of leisure, Max.
Well,
think of your health. More time to relax in the fresh air at a racetrack.
I don't think it's such a good idea.
Promise?
Promise.
That's my Max.
Lloyd enters.
Oh, there you are, both of you. Max, Karen's decided it's time to go.
Where is she now?
Up in your room.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I go and tell Miss Caswell.
Who's left out there?
Too many. And besides, you've got a new guest, a movie star from Hollywood.
Shucks. And I sent my autograph book to the cleaners. You disapprove of me when I'm like this, don't you?
Well, not exactly. Sometimes, though, I wish I understood you better.
When you do, let me in on it.
I will.
How's the new one coming?
The play? Oh, all right, I guess.
Cora, still a girl of 20.
20 is just not important.
Don't you think it's about time it became important?
What do you mean?
Don't be evasive.
Margot, you haven't got any age.
Miss Channing is ageless. Spoken like a press agent.
I know what I'm talking about. After all, they're my plays.
Spoken like an author. Lloyd, I'm not 20-ish. I'm not 30-ish. 3 months ago, I was 40 years old. 40. 4-0. That slipped out. I hadn't quite made up my mind to admit it. Now I suddenly feel as if I'd taken all my clothes off.
Week after week, to thousands of people, you're as young as you want.
As young as they want, you mean. I'm not interested whether thousands of people think I'm 6 or 600.
Just one person, isn't that so?
Margot scowls.
You know what this is all about, don't you? It has very little to do with whether you should play Cora. It has everything to do with the fact that you've had another fight with Bill.
Bill's 32. He looks 32. He looked it 5 years ago. He'll look it 20 years from now. I hate men. Don't worry, Lloyd. I'll play your play. I'll wear rompers and come in rolling a hoop, if you like.
Meanwhile, upstairs, Karen sits in front of a mirror and adjusts her hair. Eve enters.
Who won't show up at this hour? It's time people went home.
Karen turns toward Eve.
Hold that coat up. Whose is it?
Some Hollywood movie stars. Her plane got in late.
Discouraging, isn't it? Women with furs like that where it never even gets cold.
Hollywood.
She tosses the fur coat and sits down on the bed.
Tell me, Eve, how are things going with you? Happy?
There should be a new word for happiness. Being here with Miss Channing has been a... I just can't say. She's been so wonderful, done so much for me.
Lloyd says Margot compensates for underplaying onstage by overplaying reality.
Putting her coat on.
Next to that sable, my new make seems like an old bed jacket. You've done your share, Eve. You've worked wonders with Margot. Good night.
Mrs. Richards.
Karen.
Karen. Isn't it awful? I'm about to ask you for another favor. After all you've done already.
Nobody's done so much, Eve. You've got to stop thinking of yourself as one of the 100 neediest cases. What is it?
Sitting down next to her.
Miss Channing's affairs are in such good shape. There isn't enough to keep me as busy as I should be, really. Not that I'd even consider anything that would take me away from her. But the other day, when I heard Mr. Fabian tell Miss Channing that her understudy was going to have a baby, and
And they'd have to replace her.
And you want to be Margot's new understudy.
I don't let myself think about it even. But I do know the part so well. And every bit of the staging. There'd be no need to break in a new girl. Suppose I had to go on one night. To an audience that came to see Margot Channing. Oh, no, I couldn't possibly.
Well, I wouldn't worry too much about that. Margot just doesn't miss performances. If she can walk, crawl, or roll, she plays.
The show must go on.
No, dear. Margot must go on. As a matter of fact, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't be her understudy.
Do you think Miss Channing would approve?
I think she'd cheer.
But Mr. Richards and Mr. Sampson?
They'll do as they're told.
Then would you speak to Mr. Fabian about it?
Of course.
You won't forget?
I won't forget.
I seem to be forever thanking you for something, don't I?
Eve kisses her on the cheek. Eve walks out as Bertie walks in.
The bed looks like a dead animal act. Which one is Sable's?
But she just got here.
Well, she's on her way with half the men in the joint. It's only a fur coat.
What'd you expect, live Sables?
Diamond collar, gold sleeves, you know, picture people.
Addison holds court at the foot of the stairs.
Every now and then, some elder statesman of the theater or cinema assures the public that actors and actresses are just plain folks, ignoring the fact that their greatest attraction to the public is their complete lack of resemblance to normal human beings.
Now, there's something a girl could make sacrifices for.
Probably Adam.
Sable.
Sable? Did she say Sable or Gable?
Either one.
We all have abnormality in common. We're a breed apart from the rest of humanity, we theater folk. We are the original displaced personalities.
You won't have to read his column tomorrow, Eve. You just heard it. I don't agree, Addison.
That happens to be your particular abnormality.
Well, I'll admit there's a screwball element in the theater. It sticks out. It's got spotlights on it and a brass band. But it isn't basic. Isn't standard. If it were, the theater couldn't survive.
A waiter.
And that isn't a waiter, my dear, that's a butler.
Well, I can't yell old butler, can I? Maybe somebody's name is butler.
You have a point. An idiotic one, but a point.
I don't want to make trouble. All I want is a drink.
Leave it to me. I'll get you one.
Thank you, Mr. Fabian.
Well done. I can see your career rising in the east like the sun. You were saying?
I was saying that the theater is 9/10 hard work. Work done the hard way by sweat, application, and craftsmanship. I'll agree to this. To be a good actor or actress or anything else in the theater means wanting to be that more than anything else in the world.
Yes. Yes, it does. It
means a concentration of desire, or ambition, and sacrifice such as no other profession demands. And I'll agree that the man or woman who accepts those terms can't be ordinary, can't be just someone. To give so much for almost always so little.
So little. So little, did you say? Oh, why, if there's nothing else, there's applause. I've listened backstage to people applaud. It's like waves of love coming over the footlights and wrapping you up. Imagine to know every night that different hundreds of people love you. They smile, their eyes shine, you've pleased them. They want you. You belong. Just that alone is worth anything.
Karen smiles. Addison raises an eyebrow. Eve stands up as Margot and Lloyd return from the pantry.
Don't get up. And please stop acting as if I were the Queen Mother.
I'm sorry I didn't
Outside of a beehive, Margot, your behavior would hardly be considered either queenly or motherly.
You're in a beehive, pal, didn't you know? We're all busy little bees, full of stings, making honey day and night. Aren't we, honey? Margot, really? Please don't play governess, Karen. I haven't your unyielding good taste. I wish I could have gone to Radcliffe, too, but Father wouldn't hear of it. He needed help behind the notions counter. I'm being rude now, aren't I? Or should I say, ain't I?
You're maudlin and full of self-pity.
You're magnificent.
How about calling it a night?
And you pose as a playwright. A situation pregnant with possibilities, and all you can think of is everybody go to sleep.
It's a good thought.
It won't play.
As a non-professional, I think it's an excellent idea. Excuse me. Undramatic, perhaps, but practical.
Happy little housewife.
Cut it out.
This is my house, not a theater. In my house, you're a guest, not a director.
Then stop being a star. And stop treating your guests as your supporting cast.
Now, let's not get into a big hassle.
It's about time we did. It's about time Margot realized that what's attractive on stage need not necessarily be attractive off.
All right. I'm going to bed.
She squeezes between Bill and Addison on the steps and stumbles upstairs. To Bill.
You be host. It's your party. Happy birthday. Welcome home. And we who are about to die salute you.
Need any help?
Put me to bed, take my clothes off, hold my head, tuck me in, turn out the lights, and tiptoe out. Eve would, wouldn't you, Eve?
If you'd like.
I wouldn't like.
Margot continues up. Miss Caswell reaches over to get her drink from Max.
Oh, I forgot I had it.
I didn't.
Bill goes up.
Too bad. We're gonna miss the third act. They're gonna play it off stage.
Eve turns aside and leans on the railing.
Coming, Max?
In a minute.
Karen walks over to Eve.
Eve, you mustn't mind Margot too much, even if I do. There must be some reason. Something I've done without knowing.
The reason is Margot, and don't try to figure it out. Einstein couldn't.
But if I thought I'd offended her, of all people.
Eve. I'm fond of Margot, too. But I know Margot. And every now and then, there is nothing I want to do so much as kick her right square in the pants.
Well, she has to pick on someone. I'd just as soon it was me.
Karen returns to Lloyd.
Max is going to drop us.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Mrs. Richards, you won't forget, will you? What we talked about before.
No, Eve. I won't forget.
In front of the theater, a taxi pulls up. Margot gets out of the cab and goes in the theater. In the lobby.
Why so remote, Addison? I should think you'd be at the side of your protege, lending her moral support.
Miss Caswell at the moment is where I can lend no support, moral or otherwise.
In the ladies, shall we say, lounge?
Being violently ill to her tummy.
It's good luck before an audition. She'll be all right once it starts.
Miss Caswell got lucky too late. The audition is over.
Over it can't be. I came here to read with Miss Caswell. I promised Max.
Well, the audition was called for 2:30 and it's now nearly 4.
Is it really? I must start wearing a watch. I never have, you know. Who read with Miss Caswell? Bill?
No.
Lloyd?
No.
Well, it can't have been Max. Who?
Naturally enough, your understudy.
I consider it highly unnatural to allow a girl in an advanced state of pregnancy.
I refer to your new and unpregnant understudy, Miss Eve Harrington.
Eve? My understudy?
Didn't you know?
Of course I knew.
Just slipped your mind.
How, was Miss Caswell?
Frankly, I don't remember.
Just slipped your mind?
Completely. Nor, I am sure, can anyone else present tell you how Miss Caswell read, or whether Miss Caswell read or rode a pogo stick.
Was she that bad?
Margot, as you know, I've lived in the theater as a Trappist monk lives in his faith. I have no other world, no other life. And once in a great while, I experienced that moment of revelation for which all true believers wait and pray. You were one. Jean Eagle's another. Paolo Wesley, Hayes. There are others, 3 or 4. Eve Harrington will be among them.
I take it. She read well.
It wasn't a reading. It was a performance. Brilliant, vivid, something made of music and fire.
How nice.
In time, she'll be what you are.
A mass of music and fire. And that's me. An old kazoo and some sparklers. Tell me, was Bill swept away too? Or were you too full of revelation to notice?
Bill didn't say. But Lloyd was beside himself. He listened to his play as if it had been written by someone else, he said. It sounded so fresh, so new, so full of meaning.
How nice for Lloyd. How nice for Eve. How nice for everybody.
Eve was incredibly modest. She insisted that no credit was due her. That Lloyd felt as he did only because she read his lines exactly as he'd written them.
The implication being that I have not been reading them as written?
To the best of my recollection, neither your name nor your performance entered the conversation.
Miss Caswell returns.
Ah. Feeling better, my dear?
Like I just swam the English Channel. Now what?
Your next move, it seems to me, should be towards television.
Margot walks off.
Tell me this, do they have auditions for television?
That's all television is, my dear, nothing but auditions.
Margot marches down through the theater towards the stage.
Ah, Margot, darling.
She sideswipes Max with her coat and continues to walk up to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Where Lloyd and Bill are talking with Eve.
Terribly sorry I was late. Lunch was long and I couldn't find a cab. Where's Miss Caswell? Shall we start? Oh, hello, Eve.
Hello, Miss Chandler.
How are you making out in Mr. Fabian's office? Now, Max, I don't want you working this child too hard just because you promised. As you see, I kept my promise, too.
It's all over.
What's all over?
The audition. Eve read with Miss Caswell.
Eve? Oh, how enchanting. However did you two get the idea of letting Eve read with Miss Caswell?
Well, she's your understudy.
Eve, my understudy? I had no idea.
Oh, I thought you knew. She was put on over a week ago.
It seems inconceivable. I'd never seen her backstage, but of course, with so many people loitering about, well, well. So Eve is not working for Max, after all. Max, you sly puss.
Max slumps in his seat.
Miss Channing, I can't tell you how glad I am that you arrived so late.
Really, Eve? Why?
If you'd been here to begin with, I never would have dared to read at all.
Why not?
If you'd come in the middle, I would have stopped. I couldn't have gone on.
What a pity. All that fire and music being turned off.
What fire and music?
You wouldn't understand. How was Miss Caswell?
Back to the Copacabana. But Eve, Margot. Let me tell you about Eve.
I was dreadful, Miss Channing. Believe me. I have no right to be anyone's understudy, much less yours.
I'm sure you underestimate yourself, Eve. You always do. You were about to tell me about Eve.
You'd have been proud of her.
I'm sure.
She was a revelation.
Oh, to you too.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, among other things, it must have been a revelation to have a 24-year-old character played by a 24-year-old actress.
Well, that's beside the point.
It is right to the
point. Eve backs away.
Also, it must have seemed so new and fresh to you, so exciting to have your lines read just as you wrote them.
Addison.
So full of meaning, fire, and music.
She turns away from them.
You've been talking to that venomous fishwife, Addison DeWitt.
In this case, apparently as trustworthy as the World Almanac.
You knew when you came in that the audition was over, that Eve was your understudy, playing that childish little game of cat and mouse.
Not mouse, never mouse. If anything, rat.
This genius of yours for making a barroom brawl out of a perfectly innocent misunderstanding at most.
Perfectly innocent? Men have been hanged for less. I'm lied to, attacked behind my back, accused of reading your silly dialogue as if it were the holy gospel.
I never said it was.
When you listen as if someone else had written your play, whom do you have in mind? Arthur Miller, Sherwood, Beaumont and Fletcher?
May I say a word?
No! What makes you think either Miller or Sherwood would stand for the nonsense I take from you? You'd better stick to Beaumont and Fletcher. They've been dead for 300 years.
Lloyd walks off the stage.
All playwrights should be dead for 300 years.
That would solve none of their problems because actresses never die. The stars never die and never change.
You may change this star anytime you want for a new and fresh and exciting one, fully equipped with fire and music, anytime you want, starting with tonight's performance.
This is for lawyers to talk about. This concerns the run of the play contract that you cannot rewrite or ad-lib.
Are you threatening me with legal action, Mr. Fabian?
Stomping out her cigarette on the floor.
Are you breaking the contract?
Answer my question.
Who am I to threaten? I'm a dying man.
I don't hear you.
I said I'm a dying man.
Not until the last drugstore has sold its last pill.
I shall never understand the weird process by which a body with a voice suddenly fancies itself as a mind. Just when exactly does an actress decide they're her words she's saying and her thoughts she's expressing?
Usually at the point when she has to rewrite and rethink them to keep the audience from leaving the theater.
It's about time the piano realized it has not written a concerto.
He walks out of the theater. Bill remains on the stage, lying on the bed.
And you, I take it, are the Paderewski who plays his concerto on me, the piano.
Bill holds up both his hands.
Where is Princess Fire and Music?
Who?
The kid, Junior.
He looks around, down at the floor.
Gone.
I must have frightened her away.
I wouldn't be surprised. Sometimes you frighten me.
Poor little flower. Dropped her petals and folded her tent.
Don't mix your metaphors.
I'll mix what I like.
Okay, mix.
I'm nothing but a body with a voice, no mind.
What a body. What a voice.
That ex-ship news reporter. No body, no voice. All mine.
The gong rang. The fight's over. Calm down.
I will not calm down.
Don't calm down.
You're being terribly tolerant, aren't you?
I'm trying terribly hard.
Well, you needn't be. I will not be tolerated, and I will not be plotted against.
Here we go.
Such nonsense. What do you all take me for? Little Nell from the country? Been my understudy for over a week without my knowing it. Carefully hidden, no doubt.
Now, don't get carried away.
Arrives here for an audition when everyone knows I will be here. And gives a performance. Out of nowhere, gives a performance.
You've been all through that with Lloyd.
The playwright doesn't make the performance, and it doesn't just happen, and this one didn't. Full of fire and music and whatnot. Carefully rehearsed, I have no doubt. Full of those Bill Sampson touches.
I am sick and tired of these paranoiac outbursts.
Paranoiac?
I didn't know Eve Harrington was your understudy until 2:30 this afternoon.
Tell that to Dr. Freud along with the rest of it.
No, I'll tell it to you. For the last time, I'll tell it to you.
Pulling her down on the bed.
Got to stop hurting yourself and me and the two of us by these paranoiac tantrums.
Oh, that word again. I don't even know what it means.
Well, it's about time you found out. I love you. I love you.
Ha!
You're a beautiful and an intelligent woman.
A body with a voice.
A beautiful and an intelligent woman and a great actress. A great actress at the peak of her career. You have every reason for happiness.
Except happiness.
Every reason. But due to some strange, uncontrollable, unconscious drive, you permit the slightest action of a kid like...
A kid.
Of a kid like Eve to turn you into an hysterical, screaming harpy. Now, once and for all, stop it.
He stands up. And faces away from her.
It's obvious you're not a woman.
I've been aware of that for some time.
Well, I am.
I'll say.
Don't be condescending.
Come on, get up. I'll buy you a drink.
I'll admit I may have seen better days, but I'm still not to be had for the price of a cocktail, like a salted peanut.
Bill comes over.
Margot, let's make peace.
Beside her.
Terms are too high. Unconditional surrender.
Just being happy? Just stopping all this nonsense about Eve? And Eve and me?
Not nonsense.
But if I tell you it is as I just did, were you listening to me?
She nods.
Isn't that enough?
I wish it were.
Then what would be enough? If we got married?
I wouldn't want you to marry me just to prove something.
You've had so many reasons for not wanting to marry me. Margot, tell me what's behind all this.
I don't know, Bill. It's just a feeling. I don't know.
I think you do know. But you won't or can't tell me. I said before it was going to be my last try, and I meant it. I can't think of anything else to do. I wish I could.
We usually wind up screaming and throwing things as the curtain comes down. Then it comes up again and everything's fine. But not this time. You know, there isn't a playwright in the world who could make me believe this would happen between two adult people. Goodbye, Margot.
He gets up and walks away.
Bill.
He turns around.
Where are you going? To find Eve?
That suddenly makes the whole thing believable.
He turns away again and walks out. Margot bursts into tears. At the Richards house, Karen paints at an easel.
What's happened?
Up to here, that's where I've got it. Up to here. Of all the star-ridden, presumptuous, hysterical...
Margot again.
And again and again. 2 hours late for the audition to begin with.
Well, that's on time for Margot.
And then a childish, heavy-handed routine about not knowing Eve was her understudy.
Well, it's just possible she didn't.
Of course she knew. For one thing, Addison told her how superbly Eve had read the part. Mm. Karen, let me tell you about Eve. She's got everything. A born actress. Sensitive... understanding, young, exciting, vibrant.
Don't run out of adjectives, dear.
Everything a playwright first thinks of wanting to write about. Until his play becomes a vehicle for Miss Channing.
Margot hasn't done badly by it.
Margot's great. She knows it, that's the trouble. She can play Peck's bad boy all she wants, and who's to stop her? Who's to give her that boot in the rear she needs and deserves?
It's gonna be a cozy weekend.
What is?
We're driving out to the country tomorrow night. Just the four of us. Bill, Margot, you and I.
Well, we've spent weekends before with nobody talking. Just be sure to lock up all blunt instruments and throwable objects.
He goes upstairs.
Newton, they say, thought of gravity by getting hit on the head by an apple. And the man who invented the steam engine, he was watching a tea kettle. But not me. My big idea came to me just sitting on a couch. That boot in the rear to Margot. Heaven knows she had one coming. From me, from Lloyd, from Eve, Bill, Max, and so on. We'd all felt those size fives of hers often enough. But how? The answer was buzzing around me like a fly. I had it. But I let it go. Screaming and calling names is one thing. But this could mean...
She starts toward the easel, then turns away.
Why not? Why, I said to myself, not. It would all seem perfectly legitimate, and there were only two people in the world who would know. Also, the boot would land where it would do the most good for all concerned. And after all, it was no more than a perfectly harmless joke, which Margot herself would be the first to enjoy.
She looks up a phone number.
And no reason why she shouldn't be told about it. In time. Hello. Will you please call Miss Eve Harrington to the phone? Not at all, I'll wait.
It was a cold weekend, outside and in. Bill didn't come at all. Margot didn't know where he was and didn't care, she kept saying. Somehow we staggered through Sunday, and by the time we drove Margot to the station late Monday afternoon, she and Lloyd had thawed out to the extent of being civil to each other.
In a car.
What time is it?
When you asked a minute ago, it was 5:42. It is now 5:43. When you ask again a minute from now, it will be...
I just don't want Margot to miss her train. As it is, she'll barely make the theater.
5:55. We'll be at the station in plenty of time.
That little place just 2 hours from New York is on my list of things I'll never understand, like collecting shrunken Indian heads. Well, of all people, you should know what it means to want a little peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet is for libraries.
Lloyd, please.
Just a little skid, that's all. This road's like glass.
Karen and I just don't want an accident.
I have no intention of having an accident.
It isn't important whether you do. We are wearing long underwear.
You know, what's this?
Karen feigns surprise.
But it can't be. We can't be out of gas. I filled it myself yesterday. Wasn't it full when you drove to Brewster this morning?
Well, I guess I didn't look. You know I don't pay attention to those things.
Just incredible.
How much time have we got?
Oh, roughly 10 minutes.
How far to the station?
Oh, about 3 or 4 miles.
Any houses or farms around where we can borrow some gas?
Well, none in sight. There's not much along this back road.
Not many cars either. Not much chance of a lift.
Well, no sense in just sitting here. I'm going to walk up about a half a mile, just in case.
He gets out of the car and starts walking. Margot turns the radio on.
You want it on?
Doesn't matter.
I detest cheap sentiment.
She pulls out a pack of cigarettes.
Karen.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
I haven't been very pleasant this weekend. We've all been a little tense lately. Come to think of it, I haven't been very pleasant for weeks. For that, I'm truly sorry. More than any two people I know, I don't want you and Lloyd to be angry with me.
We're never deeply angry. We just get mad the way you do. We know you too well.
And so many people know me. I wish I did. I wish someone would tell me about me.
You're Margot. Just Margot.
And what is that? Besides something spelled out in light bulbs, I mean. Besides something called a temperament, which consists mostly of swooping about on a broomstick and screaming at the top of my voice. Infants behave the way I do, you know. They carry on and misbehave. They'd get drunk if they knew how. When they can't have what they want. When they feel unwanted or insecure or unloved.
What about Bill?
What about Bill?
He's in love with you.
More than anything in this world, I love Bill. And I want Bill. And I want him to want me. But me, not Margot Channing. And if I can't tell them apart, how can he?
Well, why should he and why should you?
Bill's in love with Margot Channing. He's fought with her, worked with her, and loved her. But 10 years from now, Margot Channing will have ceased to exist. And what's left will be... what?
Margot, Bill is all of 8 years younger than you.
And those years stretch as the years go on. I've seen it happen too often.
Not to you, not to Bill.
Isn't that what they always say? Now, I don't suppose the heater runs if the motor doesn't.
It's silly, isn't it? You think they'd fix it so people could just sit in a car and keep warm?
About Eve. I've acted pretty disgracefully toward her, too.
Well,
don't fumble for excuses. Not here and now with my hair down. At best, let's say I've been oversensitive to her. Well, to the fact that she's so young, so feminine and so helpless. To so many things I want to be for Bill. Funny business, a woman's career. The things you drop on your way up the ladder so you can move faster. You forget you'll need them again when you get back to being a woman. It's one career all females have in common, whether we like it or not. Being a woman. Sooner or later, we've got to work at it. No matter how many other careers we've had or wanted. And in the last analysis, nothing's any good unless you can look up just before dinner or turn around in bed. And there he is. Without that, you're not a woman. You're something with a French provincial office or a book full of clippings. But you're not a woman.
Karen's eyes look down on the verge of tears.
Slow curtain, the end.
Margot, I want you to know how sorry I am about this.
About what?
This. I can't tell you how sorry I am.
Don't give it a thought. One of Destiny's merry pranks. After all, you didn't personally drain the gasoline tank yourself.
Karen slumps down in her seat. Later, Addison enters the theater backstage.
Eve, of course, was superb. Many of the audience understandably preferred to return another time to see Margot. But those who remained cheered loudly, lustily, and long for Eve. How thoughtful of her to call and invite me that afternoon. And what a happy coincidence that several representatives of other newspapers happened to be present. All of us invited that afternoon to attend an understudy's performance about which the management knew nothing until they were forced to ring up the curtain at 9 o'clock.
He waits by the dressing room.
Coincidence.
You were better than all right, kid. You gave a performance. You rang a bell. Little things here and there, but it doesn't matter. You can be proud of yourself. You've got a right to be.
Are you proud of me, Bill?
I'll admit I was worried when Max called. I had my doubts.
You shouldn't have had any doubts.
Well, after all, the other day was one scene. The woods are full of one-scene sensations. But you did it. With work and patience, you'll be a good actress. If that's what you want to be.
Is that what you want me to be?
I'm talking about you and what you want.
So am I.
What have I got to do with it?
Everything.
The names I've been called, but never Svengali. Good luck.
Bill walks off. Addison steps back from the door.
Don't run away, Bill.
From what would I be running?
Eve steps toward him.
You're always after truth on the stage. What about off?
I'm for it.
Then face it. I have. Ever since that first night here in this dressing room.
When I told you what every young actress should know?
When you told me that whatever I became, it would be because of you.
Makeup's a little heavy.
And for you.
You're quite a girl.
You think?
I'm in love with Margot. Hadn't you heard?
You hear all kinds of things.
I'm only human, rumors to the contrary, and I'm as curious as the next man.
Find out.
Only thing. What I go after, I want to go after. I don't want it to come after me.
Eve grimaces and turns away.
Don't cry. Just score it as an incomplete forward pass.
He walks out. She spins toward the closed door. Removes her wig. Throws it on the table. Tries to rip it apart.
Who is it?
Addison enters.
May I come in?
Certainly, Mr. DeWitt.
I expected to find this little room overcrowded with a theater full of people at your feet.
I consider myself lucky they didn't throw things.
Of course, your performance was no surprise to me. After the other day, I regarded it as no more than a promise fulfilled.
You're more than kind, but it's still Miss Channing's performance.
Sitting.
I'm just the carbon copy you read when you can't find the original.
You're more than modest.
It's not modesty. I just don't try to kid myself.
A revolutionary approach to the theater. But if I may make a suggestion.
She turns toward him.
Please do.
I think the time has come for you to shed some of your humility. It is just as false not to blow your horn at all as it is to blow it too loudly.
I don't think I've done anything to sound off about.
We all come into this world with our little egos equipped with individual horns. Now, if we don't blow them, who else will?
Even so. One pretty good performance by an understudy. It'll be forgotten tomorrow.
It needn't be.
Even if I wanted to, as you say, be less humble, blow my own horn, how would I do it? I'm less than nobody.
I am somebody.
You certainly are.
Leave the door open a bit, so we can talk.
She grins.
After you change, if you're not busy elsewhere, we could have supper.
I'd love to. Or should I pretend I'm busy?
Let's have a minimum of pretending. I shall want to do a column about you.
I'm not even enough for a paragraph.
Perhaps more than one. There's so much I want to know. I've heard your story in bits and pieces. Your home in Wisconsin, your tragic marriage, your fanatical attachment to Margot. It started in San Francisco, didn't it? I say your idolatry of Margot started in San Francisco, didn't it?
That's right.
San Francisco, an oasis of civilization in the California desert. Tell me, do you share my high opinion of San Francisco?
Yes, I do.
And that memorable night when Margot first dazzled you from the stage, what theater was it in San Francisco? Was it the Schubert?
Yes, the Schubert.
Fine old theater, the Schubert. Full of tradition, untouched by the earthquake, or should I say fire. Tell me, what was your husband's name?
Eddie.
Eddie what?
Dressed in a towel, she appears at the door.
I'm about to go into the shower. I won't be able to hear you.
Oh, well, it can wait. Where would you like to go? We must make this a special night.
You take charge.
I believe I will.
He puffs on his cigarette through a long cigarette holder. Later.
Some of the morning papers carried a little squib about Eve's performance. Not much, but full of praise. I couldn't imagine how they found out about it. But Lloyd said Max's publicity man probably sent out the story. At any rate, I felt terribly guilty and ashamed of myself, and wanted nothing so much as to forget the whole thing. Margot and I were having lunch at 21, just like girlfriends, with hats on.
Karen enters the restaurant.
Has Miss Channing come in?
Not yet, Mrs. Richards.
Thank you. Oh, Eve, I've heard the most wonderful things about your performance.
Mostly relief that I managed to stagger through it at all.
She was magnificent.
Well, then you've heard, too.
I was there, an eyewitness.
You were there at the play last night?
A happy coincidence.
We're having lunch with a movie talent scout.
Well, they certainly don't waste much time, do they?
It's nothing definite yet. It's just to have lunch.
They'll be wasting this much of their time at any rate. Eve has no intention of going to Hollywood. By the smartness of your dress, I take it that your luncheon companion is a lady.
Margot.
Margot lunching in public?
Oh, it's a new Margot, but she's just as late as the old one.
She may be later than you think.
He walks toward the desk and picks up a newspaper.
Why not read my column to pass the time? The minutes will fly like hours.
Thank you, Addison.
And now we must join our sunburnt eager beaver.
Goodbye, Karen.
Goodbye.
Eve and Addington walk off. Karen reads the article and sits down. She stands up and walks out of the restaurant. Later.
And so my hat, which has, lo, these many seasons become more firmly rooted about my ears, is lifted to Miss Harrington. I am once more available for dancing in the streets and shouting from the housetops. I thought that one went out with Wolcott. Now down here, listen to this. Miss Harrington had much to tell, and these columns shall report her faithfully about the lamentable practice in our theater of permitting, shall we say, mature actresses to continue playing roles requiring a youth and vigor for which they retain but a dim memory.
I just can't believe it.
It gets better. About the understandable reluctance on the part of our entrenched first ladies of the stage to encourage, shall we say, younger actresses, about Miss Harrington's own long and unsupported struggle for opportunity.
I can't believe Eve said those things.
In this rat race, everybody's guilty till they're proved innocent. One of the differences between the theater and civilization.
She throws the paper in the fireplace.
What gets me is how all the papers in town happen to catch that particular performance.
Lloyd says it's a publicity release.
The little witch must have sent out Indian runners, snatching critics out of bars and steam rooms and museums or wherever they hole up. But she won't get away with it. Nor will Addison DeWitt and his poisoned pen. If Equity or my lawyer can't or won't do anything about it, I shall personally stuff that pathetic little lost lamb down Mr. DeWitt's ugly throat.
Bill runs up the stairs and walks into the living room.
I came as soon as I read that piece of filth. I ran all the way.
He runs over and embraces her.
Bill's here, baby. Everything's all right now.
He looks over his shoulder at Karen, who stands up.
I guess at this point I'm what the French call de trop.
Maybe just a little around the edges.
She smiles and walks out. At the Richards house.
It's Addison from start to finish. It drips with his brand of venom. Taking advantage of a kid like that, twisting her words, making her say what he wanted her to say.
Where'd you get all that information?
Eve.
Eve?
She's been to see me.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, she left just before you came in. You just missed her.
That was a pity.
Wanted to explain about the interview. Wanted to apologize to someone. And didn't dare face Margot.
I wonder why.
She started to tell me all about it and couldn't finish. She cried so. You know, I've been going over our financial condition, if you'll pardon the expression.
That's quite a change of subject.
What with taxes coming up and... Since I'm a playwright and not an oil well operator, well, I've been thinking...
I'm trying hard to follow you.
If, instead of waiting until next season to do Footsteps on the Ceiling, which is in pretty good shape, and if Margot can be talked into going on tour with Aged in Wood, we could put Footsteps into production right away.
I'm beginning to catch up.
If we can cast it properly, that is.
Maybe get some younger actress for the part. Someone who'd look the part as well as play it.
You've got to admit it'd be a novelty.
Now you're quoting Addison, or Eve.
Eve did mention the play, but just in passing. She never asked to play a part like Cora. She never had the nerve.
Eve would ask Abbott to give her Costello.
No, I got the idea myself while she was talking to me about the play.
With gestures, of course.
For once to write something and have it realized completely. For once not to compromise.
Karen stands up.
Lloyd Richards, you are not to consider giving that contemptible little worm the part of Cora.
Now, just a minute.
Margot Channing's not been exactly a compromise all these years. Why, half the playwrights in the world would give their shirts for that particular compromise.
Now, just a minute.
It strikes me that Eve's disloyalty and ingratitude must be contagious.
All this fuss and hysteria because an impulsive kid got carried away by excitement and the conniving of a professional manure slinger named DeWitt. She apologized, didn't she?
On her knees, I've no doubt. Very touching, very Academy of Dramatic Arts.
That bitter cynicism of yours is something you've acquired since you left Radcliffe.
That cynicism you refer to, I acquired the day I discovered I was different from little boys.
Hello? Oh, hi, Margot. No, not at all. Karen and I were just chatting. Why, yes, I'm sure we can, and I'm sure we'd love to. Right. 11:45-ish. See you then. Margot and Bill want us to meet them at the Cub Room tonight after the theater for a bottle of wine.
Margot Channing in the Cub Room. I couldn't be more surprised if she'd said Grant's Tomb.
I'm glad Bill's back.
They'd die without each other.
Darling, I didn't promise Eve anything, just that I thought she'd be fine for the part. But there were some practical difficulties.
Such as?
You, for one. I told her you were set on Margot playing the part, and I certainly wouldn't make a change without your approval.
That's fine. Fine and dandy. Just refer all of Miss Eve Harrington's future requests to me.
She smiles and walks off. That night at the restaurant.
The so-called art of acting is not one for which I have a particularly high regard.
Yeah.
But you may quote me as follows. Quote, tonight, Miss Margot Channing gave a performance in your cockamamie play, the like of which I have never seen before and expect rarely to see again. Unquote.
He does not exaggerate. I was good.
You were great.
It's been quite a night. I understand that your understudy, a Miss Harrington, has given her notice.
Too bad.
I'm broken up about it.
For some reason, you just can't pick up champagne and drink it. Somebody's got to be very witty about a toast.
I shall propose the toast. Without wit, with all my heart, to Margot, to my bride-to-be.
Glory, hallelujah. Margot!
Well, of all
drink.
You...
Bill, Karen, and Lloyd raise glasses.
When are you going to do it?
Tomorrow we meet at City Hall at 10. And you're going to be on time.
Yes, sir.
City Hall, that's for prizefighters and reporters. I see a cathedral, a bishop, banks of flowers.
It's only for the license. There's a 3-day wait for blood tests and things like that.
I'll marry you if it turns out you have no blood at all. What are you going to wear?
Something simple. A fur coat over a nightgown.
Point is this. In a cathedral, a ballpark, or a penny arcade, we want you two beside us as our nearest and dearest friends.
Which we are. Which we'll always be.
There are very few moments in life as good as this. Let's remember it. To each of us and all of us, never have we been more close. May we never be farther apart.
They all raise glasses again. A waiter approaches Karen.
Mrs. Richards?
Yes?
For you.
Oh, thank you.
She takes a slip of paper from the tray.
Very indiscreet. Note in the open like that. Next time, tell your lover to blow smoke rings or tap a glass.
Lloyd, I want you to be big about this. The world is full of love tonight. No woman is safe.
Well, this beats all world's records for running, jumping, or standing goal.
Passing the note to Margot.
Please forgive me for butting into what seems such a happy occasion, but it's most important that I speak with you. Please, and that's underlined, meet me in the ladies' room, Eve.
I understand she's now the understudy in there.
Hand me that empty bottle. I may find her.
She holds the empty bottle up in the air.
Well, look. There's Rasputin.
Addison, sitting alone with his cigarette holder. A waiter approaches Margot.
Encore du champagne.
Oh, more champagne, Miss Jenny?
That's what I said, bub.
After all, maybe she just wants to apologize.
I have no possible interest in anything she'd have to say.
But what could she say? That's what fascinates me. Go on, find out.
Karen, during all the years of our long friendship, I have never let you go to the ladies' room alone. Now I must. I am busting to find out what's going on in that feverish little brain waiting in there.
All right.
Karen gets up and heads towards the ladies' room, passing along the way Addison's table.
Karen.
She keeps walking.
How nice.
Seeing Margot's table, he raises a glass and bows in their direction. In response, Margot raises a breadstick vertically, then bites it.
Very effective, but why take it out on me?
Addison sits down. Karen enters the ladies' lounge. Looks around. Spots Eve sitting on a couch. Walks toward her.
I was wondering whether you'd come at all.
Don't get up. Don't act as if I were the Queen Mother.
I don't expect you to be pleasant.
I don't intend to be.
Can't we sit down just for a minute? I've got a lot to say and none of it's easy.
There can't be very much.
But there is.
Easy or not, I won't believe a word of it.
Why should you? Please sit down.
Eve sits. Karen sits next to her.
You know, I've always considered myself a very clever girl. Smart. Good head on my shoulders, that sort of thing. Never the wrong word at the wrong time. But then I'd never met Addison DeWitt. I remember I had a tooth pulled once. They gave me some anesthetic. I don't remember the name. It affected me strangely. I found myself saying things I wasn't even thinking. As if my mind was someplace outside of my body and couldn't control what I did or said.
And you felt just like that talking to Addison?
In a way. You find yourself trying to say what you mean. But somehow the words change. They become his words. And suddenly you're not saying what you mean, but what he means.
Do you expect me to believe that you didn't say any of those things? That they were all Addison?
I don't expect you to believe anything. Except that the responsibility is mine. And the disgrace.
Let's not get overdramatic.
You really have a low opinion of me, haven't you? I'll give you some pleasant news. I've been told off in no uncertain terms all over town. Miss Channing should be happy to hear that. To know how loyal her friends are. How much more loyal than she had a right to expect me to be.
Eve, don't cry.
I'm not crying.
Tell me, how did your luncheon turn out with a man from Hollywood?
Some vague promises of a test, that's all. If a particular part should come along, one of those things.
But the raves about your performance.
An understudy's performance.
Oh, well,
I think you're painting the picture a little blacker than it is, really. If nothing else, and don't underestimate him, you have a powerful friend in Addison.
He's not my friend. You were my friend.
He can help you.
I wish I'd never met him. I'd like him to be dead. I want my friends back.
Eve, I don't think you meant to cause unhappiness, but you did. More to yourself, perhaps, as it turned out, than to anyone else.
I'll never get over it.
Oh, yes, you will. You theater people always do. Nothing is forever in the theater. Whatever it is, it's here. It flares up, burns hot, and it's gone.
I wish I could believe that.
Give yourself time. Don't worry too much about what people think. You're very young and very talented. And believe it or not, if there's anything I can do...
Standing up.
There is something.
Looking up at her and holding on to her hand.
I think I know.
Something most important you can do.
You ought to play Cora. You want me to tell Lloyd I think you should play it.
If you told him so, he'd give me the part. He said he would.
After all you've said, don't you know that part was written for Margot?
Eve pulls more tightly on Karen's hand.
It might have been 15 years ago. It's my part now.
You talk just as Addison said you did.
Cora is my part. You've got to tell Lloyd it's for me.
I don't think anything in the world would make me say that.
Addison wants me to play it.
Over my dead body.
That won't be necessary. Addison knows how Margot happened to miss that performance. How I happened to know she'd miss it in time to call him and notify every paper in town. It's quite a story. Addison could make quite a thing of it. Imagine how snide and vicious he could get and still tell nothing but the truth. I had a time persuading him.
Releasing her hand.
You better sit down. You look a bit wobbly.
She sits.
If I play Cora, Addison will never tell what happened, in or out of print. A simple exchange of favors. I'm so happy I can do something for you at long last. Your friendship with Margot. Your deep, close friendship. What would happen to it, do you think, if she knew the cheap trick you'd played on her for my benefit? You and Lloyd. How long, even in the theater, before people forgot what happened and trusted you? No.
Eve stands up.
It'd be so much easier for everyone concerned if I were to play Cora. So much better theater, too.
A part in a play. You'd do all that just for a part in a play.
I'd do much more for a part that good.
Eve walks out. Eve re-enters the restaurant, sits down next to Addison.
Hungry?
Eve shakes her head.
I'm not surprised after all that humble pie.
Nothing of the kind. Karen and I had a nice talk.
Heart to heart, woman to woman, including a casual reference to the part of Cora and your hopes of playing it?
I discussed it very openly. I told her I'd spoken to Lloyd and that he was interested.
And Karen mentioned, of course, that Margot expects to play the part.
Oddly enough, she didn't say a word about Margot.
Oh.
Just that she'll be happy to do what she can to see that I play.
Just like that, eh?
Just like that.
You know, Eve, sometimes I think you keep things from me.
I don't think that's funny.
It wasn't meant to be.
I confide in you and rely on you more than anyone I've ever known. Say a thing like that now, without any reason, when I need you more than ever.
I hope you mean what you say. I intend to hold you to it. We have a great deal in common, it seems to me.
Now Karen re-enters the restaurant, walks silently past Addington and Eve.
Well, what happened?
Nothing much. She apologized.
With tears.
With tears. But not right away. First the business of fighting them back, chin up, stout fella.
Check.
Very classy stuff. Lots of technique.
You mean all this time she's done nothing but apologize? What did you say?
Not much.
Taking a swig of her drink.
Groom.
Hmm?
May I have a wedding present?
What would you like, Texas?
I want everybody to shut up about Eve. Just shut up about Eve. That's all I want. Give Karen more wine. Never have I been so happy. Isn't it a lovely room? The Cub Room. What a lovely, clever name. Where the elite meet. Never have I seen so much elite, all with their eyes on me, waiting for me to crack that little gnome on the noggin with a bottle. But not tonight. I'm forgiving tonight. Even Eve, I forgive Eve. There they go.
Eve and Addington get up.
There goes Eve. Eve, Eve, little Miss Evil. But the evil that men do, how does that go, groom? Something about the good they leave behind. I played it once in Rep in Wilkes-Barre.
You've got it backwards even for Wilkes-Barre.
You know why I forgive Eve. She left good behind. The four of us here together. It's Eve's fault I forgive her. And Bill, especially Bill, she did that too.
You know she probably means well after all.
She is a louse.
Never try to outguess Margot.
Groom.
Yes, dear.
You know what I'm going to be?
A cowboy?
A married lady.
With a paper to prove it.
I'm going to look up at 6 o'clock, and there he'll be. Remember, Karen? I remember. You'll be there, won't you?
Often enough to keep the franchise.
No more make-believe, offstage or on. Remember Lloyd. I mean it now. Lloyd. Will you promise not to be angry with me?
Well, that depends.
I mean really deeply angry.
I don't think I could be.
Well, I don't want to play Cora. What? Now, wait a minute. You're always so touchy about his plays. It isn't the part. It's a great part and a fine play. But not for me anymore. Not for a four-square, upright, downright, forthright married lady.
What's your being married got to do with it?
It means I've finally got a life to live. I don't have to play parts I'm too old for. Just because I've got nothing to do with my nights. Oh, Lloyd, I know you've made plans. I'll make it up to you, believe me. I'll tour a year with this one, anything. Only you do understand, don't you?
Margot casts a puzzled glance at Bill, who looks quizzically at Karen.
What's so funny?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Everything. Everything's so funny.
Margot takes away Karen's glass. At the theater, even rehearsal.
Lloyd never got around, somehow, to asking whether it was all right with me for Eve to play Cora. Bill, oddly enough, refused to direct the play at first, with Eve in it. Lloyd and Max finally won him over. Margot never came to a rehearsal. Too much to do around the house, she said. I'd never known Bill and Lloyd to fight as bitterly and often, and always over some business for Eve, or a move, or the way she read a speech. But then I'd never known Lloyd to meddle as much with Bill's directing, as far as it affected Eve, that is. Somehow, Eve kept them going. Bill stuck it out. Lloyd seemed happy. And I thought it might be best if I skipped rehearsals from then on.
At her home.
It seemed to me I had known always that it would happen. And here it was. I felt helpless. That helplessness you feel when you have no talent to offer, outside of loving your husband. How could I compete? Everything Lloyd loved about me, he'd gotten used to long ago.
Hello? Who? Who's calling, Mr. Richards?
My name wouldn't mean anything. I room across the hall from Eve Harrington. And she isn't well. She's been crying all night, and she's hysterical, and she doesn't want a doctor, and...
Who is it? What's it all about?
Did Miss Harrington tell you to call Mr. Richards?
Oh, no, Eve didn't say to call him. But I remember that I saw Mr. Richards with her a couple of times, and well, I thought they being such good friends, and...
Hello, this is Lloyd Richards. Where is Eve? Let me talk to her.
Hello, Mr. Richards. She's upstairs in her room. I really hate to bother you this way, but the way Eve's been feeling, I've just been worried sick, what with her leaving tomorrow for New Haven and all.
Tell her not to worry. Tell her I'll be right over.
The woman smiles at Eve. The two of them walk upstairs together. On the marquee of a theater, footsteps on the ceiling, a new play by Lloyd Richards.
To the theater world, New Haven, Connecticut, is a short stretch of sidewalk between the Schubert Theater and the Taft Hotel, surrounded by what looks very much like a small city. It is here that managers have what are called out-of-town openings, which are openings for New Yorkers who want to go out of town.
What a day. What a heavenly day.
D-Day.
They walk past the theater.
Just like it.
And tomorrow morning you will have won your beachhead on the shores of immortality.
Stop rehearsing your column. Isn't it strange, Addison? I thought I'd be panic-stricken. Want to run away or something. Instead, I can't wait for tonight to come. To come and go.
Are you that sure of tomorrow?
Aren't you?
Frankly, yes.
They go up in a hotel elevator.
It'll be a night to remember. It'll bring me everything I've ever wanted. The end of an old road, the beginning of a new one.
All paved with diamonds and gold?
You know me better than that.
Paved with what, then?
Stars. What time?
Almost 4.
Plenty of time for a nice long nap. We rehearsed most of last night.
You could sleep now, couldn't you?
Why not?
The mark of a true killer. Sleep tight, rest easy, and come out fighting.
Why did you call me a killer?
Oh, did I say killer? I meant champion. I get my boxing terms mixed.
He moves to shake hands.
Addison, come in for a minute, will you? I've got something to tell you.
He follows her into the room.
Suites are for expense accounts. Aren't you being extravagant?
Max is paying for it. He and Lloyd had a terrific row, but Lloyd insisted. Can I fix you a drink?
Also with the reluctant compliments of Max Fabian?
Lloyd. I never have any. He likes a few drinks after we finish, so he set it up.
Some plain soda. Lloyd must be expecting a record run in New Haven.
That's for tonight. You're invited.
Addison sits down.
We're having everyone up after the performance.
We are?
Lloyd and I.
I find it odd that Karen isn't here for the opening, don't you?
Addison.
She's always been so frenetically devoted to Lloyd, one would think that only death or destruction could keep her.
Addison, just a few minutes ago, when I said this would be a night to remember, that it would bring me everything I ever wanted.
Oh, yes, something about an old road ending and a new one starting all paved with stars.
I didn't mean just the theater.
What else?
She goes to the window.
Lloyd Richards. He's going to leave Karen. We're going to be married.
So that's it. Lloyd. Still just the theater after all.
It's nothing of the kind. Lloyd loves me. I love him.
I know nothing of Lloyd and his loves. I leave those to Louisa May Alcott, but I do know you.
I'm in love with Lloyd.
Lloyd Richards is commercially the most successful playwright in America.
You have no right to say such thing.
And artistically the most promising. Eve, dear, this is Addison.
She gets down in front of him.
Oh, Addison, won't it be just perfect? Lloyd and I. There's no telling how far we can go. You'll write great plays for me. I'll make them great. You're the only one I've told. The only one who knows except Lloyd and me.
And Karen.
She doesn't know.
She knows enough not to be here.
But not all of it. Not that Lloyd and I are going to be married.
I see. And when was this unholy alliance joined?
We decided night before last, before we came up here.
I trust the setting was properly romantic. Lights on dimmers and gypsy violins off stage.
The setting wasn't romantic, but Lloyd was. He woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, banging on my door. He couldn't sleep, he said. He'd left Karen. Couldn't go on with a play or anything else until I promised to marry him. We sat and talked until it was light. He never went home.
You sat and talked until it was light?
We sat and talked, Addison. I want a run of the play contract.
There never was, and there never will be another like you.
Well, say something. Anything. Congratulations. Skål. Good work, Eve.
He stands up.
What do you take me for?
I don't know that I'd take you for anything.
Is it possible, even conceivable, that you've confused me with that gang of backward children you play tricks on? That you have the same contempt for me as you have for them?
I'm sure you mean something by that, Addison, but I don't know what.
Look closely, Eve. It's time you did. I am Addison DeWitt. I'm nobody's fool, least of all yours.
I never intended you to be.
Yes, you did, and you still do.
I still don't know what you're getting at. But right now I want to take my nap. It's important.
It's important right now that we talk. Killer to killer.
Champion to champion.
Not with me. You're no champion. You're stepping way up in class.
Addison, will you please say what you have to say, plainly and distinctly, and then get out so I can take my nap?
Oh, very well. Plainly and distinctly. Though I consider it unnecessary because you know as well as I do what I'm going to say. Lloyd may leave Karen, but he will not leave Karen for you.
What do you mean by that?
More plainly and more distinctly. I have not come to New Haven to see the play, discuss your dreams, or pull the ivy from the walls of Yale. I've come here to tell you that you will not marry Lloyd, or anyone else for that matter, because I will not permit it.
What have you got to do with it?
Everything. Because after tonight, you will belong to me.
Belong? To you?
Turning away from him.
I can't believe my ears.
A dull cliché.
Belong to you? Sounds medieval. Something out of an old melodrama.
So does the history of the world for the past 20 years. I don't enjoy putting it as bluntly as this. Frankly, I'd hoped that somehow you would have known, that you would have taken it for granted that you and I...
Taken it for granted? That you and I...
Now remember, as long as you live, never to laugh at me. At anything or anyone else, but never at me.
She goes to the door and... opens it.
Get out.
You're too short for that gesture. Besides, it went out with Mrs. Fisk.
He pushes the door closed.
Then if you won't get out, I'll have you thrown out.
Don't pick up that phone. Don't even touch it. Something told you to do what I said, didn't it? That instinct is worth millions. You can't buy it, Eve. Cherish it. When that alarm goes off, go to your battle stations. To begin with, your name is not Eve Harrington. It's Gertrude Sloginski.
What of it?
It's true your parents were poor. They still are. They would like to know how you are and where. They haven't heard from you for 3 years.
What of it?
She faces away from him.
A matter of opinion, granted. It's also true that you worked in a brewery. But life in the brewery was apparently not as dull as you pictured it. In fact, it got less and less dull until your boss's wife had your boss followed by detectives.
She never proved anything, not a thing.
But the $500 you got to get out of town brought you straight to New York, didn't it?
She runs into the other room. He follows after her.
That $500 brought you straight to New York, didn't it?
She was a liar. She was a liar!
Answer my question. Weren't you paid to get out of town?
She falls onto the bed, facing down.
There was no Eddie, no pilot. You've never been married. That was not only a lie, it was an insult to dead heroes and the women who loved them. San Francisco has no Schubert Theater. You've never been to San Francisco. That was a stupid lie, easy to expose, not worthy of you.
I had to get in to meet Margot. I had to say something, be somebody, make her like me.
And she did like you. She helped and trusted you. You paid her back by trying to take Bill away.
That's not true.
I was there. I saw you and heard you through the dressing room door. You used my name and column to blackmail Karen into getting you the part of Cora, and you lied to me about it.
No!
She beats her fists on the bed.
I had lunch with Karen not 3 hours ago, as always with women who try to find out things she told more than she learnt. Now, do you want to change your story about Lloyd beating at your door the other night?
Please, please.
that I should want you at all suddenly strikes me as the height of improbability. But that in itself is probably the reason. You're an improbable person, Eve, and so am I. We have that in common. Also, a contempt for humanity, an inability to love and be loved, insatiable ambition and talent. We deserve each other. Are you listening to me?
Still face down, she nods her head.
And say so.
Yes, Addison.
And you realize and you agree how completely you belong to me?
Yes, Addison.
Then take your nap and good luck for tonight.
He walks off. She lifts her head off the bed.
I won't play tonight. I couldn't. Not possibly. I couldn't go on.
Couldn't go on? You'll give the performance of your life.
He takes his coat and cane and goes out. Back at the awards banquet.
And she gave the performance of her life. And it was a night to remember that night.
She stands holding her trophy.
Honored members of the Sarah Siddons Society, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, what is there for me to say? Everything wise and witty has long since been said, by minds more mature and talents far greater than mine. For me to thank you as equals would be presumptuous. I am an apprentice in the theater and have much to learn from all of you. Let me say only that I am proud and happy, and that I regard this great honor not so much as an award for what I have achieved, but as a standard to hold against what I have yet to accomplish. And further, that I regard it as bestowed upon me only in part. The larger share belongs to my friends in the theater, and to the theater itself, which has given me all I have. In good conscience, I must give credit where credit is due. To Max Fabian. Dear Max.
He looks down.
Dear, sentimental, generous, courageous Max Fabian, who took a chance on an unknown, untried amateur.
He smiles broadly.
To my first friend in the theater, whose kindness and graciousness I shall never forget. Karen, Mrs. Lloyd Richard.
Who maintains her neutral countenance.
It was Karen who first brought me to one whom I had always idolized. One who became my benefactress and champion. A great actress and a great woman. Margot Channing.
Who remains unmoved.
To my director, who demanded always a little more than my talent could provide, but who taught me patiently and well, Bill Sampson.
Who barely looks up from his cigarette.
And one without whose great play and faith in me, this night could never have been. How can I repay Lloyd Richard?
Who closes his eyes.
How can I repay the many others, so many I couldn't possibly name them all, whose help, guidance, and advice have made this the happiest night of my life possible.
Addington raises a cigarette holder.
Although I am going to Hollywood next week to make a film, do not think for a moment that I am leaving you. How could I? My heart is here in the theater, and 3,000 miles are too far to be away from one's heart. I'll be back to claim it, and soon. That is, if you want me back.
The photographers gather as she kisses the elderly award presenter.
Good night to all, a good night.
She walks past Lloyd, who has also won an award. He is met by Karen.
For services rendered beyond the whatever it is of duty, darling.
He hands his trophy to her, and they kiss.
Come on, I'm the host. I got to get home before my guests start stealing the liquor.
Karen walks up to Eve.
Congratulations, Eve.
Thank you, Karen.
Karen walks off as a man brings Eve's elegant cape to Addington.
Congratulations, Miss Harrington.
Oh, thank you so much.
Addington drapes Eve's cape on her shoulders.
Nice speech, Eve. But I wouldn't worry too much about your heart. You can always put that award where your heart ought to be.
Margot walks off, followed by Bill.
I don't suppose there's a drink left.
You can have one at Max's.
I don't think I'm going.
Why not?
Because I don't want to. I'm so happy for you, Eve. Thank you so much.
Well, Max has gone to a great deal of trouble. This is going to be an elaborate party, and it's for you.
No, it isn't. It's for this.
Lifting the trophy.
It's the same thing, isn't it?
Exactly. Here, take it to the party instead of me.
You're being very childish.
I'm tired. I want to go home.
Very well. I'll drop you off. I should go to the party alone. I have no intention of missing it.
They walk out, Addington carrying the trophy. Later. Eve gets out of a cab and walks into a building. Addington gets back in the cab. Eve goes into her apartment. Goes into the bedroom. Removes her elegant cape and drops it on the bed. Walks back into the living room. Makes herself a drink. Suddenly, drops her drink, turns around, and faces a young woman sitting in her living room.
Who are you?
Miss Harrington.
What are you doing here?
I guess I fell asleep. Please don't have me arrested. Please, I didn't steal anything. You can search me.
How did you get in here?
I hid outside in the hall till a maid came to turn down your bed. She must have forgot something. When she went to get it, she left the door open. I sneaked in and hid till she finished. And then I just looked around. Pretty soon I was afraid that somebody would notice the lights were on, so I turned them off. And then I guess I fell asleep.
You were just looking around?
That's all.
What for?
You probably won't believe me.
Probably not.
It was for my report.
What report? To whom?
About how you live. What kind of clothes you wear. What kind of perfume and books. Things like that. You know the Eve Harrington clubs that they have in most of the girls' high schools.
I've heard of them.
Ours was one of the first. Erasmus Hall. I'm the president.
Erasmus Hall.
Sitting on the couch.
This is Brooklyn, isn't it?
Well, lots of actresses come from Brooklyn. Barbara Stanwyck and Susan Hayward. Of course, they're just movie stars. You're going to Hollywood, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
From the trunks you're packing, you must be going to stay a long time.
I might.
That spilled drink's going to ruin your carpet.
Getting up.
Maid will fix it in the morning.
I'll just clean up the mess.
Don't bother. How'd you get up here from Brooklyn?
Subway.
Making another drink?
How long does it take?
Oh, with changing and everything, a little over an hour.
It's after one now. You won't get home till all hours.
I don't care if I never get home.
That's the door.
The woman walks across the living room and brings Eve the drink.
You rest. I'll get it.
She goes to the door. Where she is met by Addington.
Hello.
Who are you?
Miss Harrington's resting, Mr. DeWitt. She asked me to see who it is.
Oh, well, we won't disturb her rest. It seems Miss Harrington left her award in the taxi cab. Will you give it to her?
She takes it.
Tell me, how did you know my name?
It's a very famous name, Mr. DeWitt.
And what's your name?
Phoebe.
Phoebe?
I call myself Phoebe.
And why not? Tell me, Phoebe, do you want someday to have an award like that of your own?
More than anything else in the world.
Then you must ask Miss Harrington how to get one. Miss Harrington knows all about it.
He shuts the door.
Who was it? Just a taxi driver, Miss Harrington. You left your award in his cab and he brought it back.
Oh. Put it on one of the trunks, will you? I want to pack it.
Sure, Miss Harrington.
Phoebe walks into the bedroom, puts the award down on top of a trunk. Heads towards Eve's elegant cape on the bed. Picks it up. Feels the fabric. Tries it on. Goes back to the trunk and picks up the trophy. Walks over to a set of full-length mirrors. Basks in her reflection. Rehearses her bows. As the mirrors multiply her image beyond count. Words appear. The end. Cast. Betty Davis as Margot. Anne Baxter as Eve. George Sanders as Addison DeWitt. Celeste Holm as Karen. Gary Merrill as Bill Sampson. Hugh Marlowe as Lloyd Richards. Gregory Ratoff as Max Fabian. Barbara Bates as Phoebe. Marilyn Monroe as Miss Caswell. Thelma Ritter as Birdie. Walter Hampton as aged actor, Randy Stewart as girl, Craig Hill as leading man, Leland Harris as doorman, Barbara White as autograph seeker, Eddie Fisher as stage manager, William Pullen as clerk, Claude Stroud as pianist, Eugene Borden as Frenchman, Helen Mowry as reporter, Steve Garay as captain of waiters. Audio description by Lou Lasher.